devotee gets his inspiration for devotional service. Where do I have to get inspiration to read Bhagavatam? Where do we get inspiration to chant on our beads Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Where do we get inspiration to chant in the kirtan, if not from the hearts of the assembled Vaishnavas? Sometimes coming to read, to give a class, I'm thinking, what would be if I would be sitting alone here? Wow, sure, no inspiration. You can try at home, in your residence, ashram, flat, apartment, house. Sit and read alone. There's no comparison to reading in the association of the Vaishnava devotees. So therefore I wanted to thank you very much for coming and be present and inspiring each other with your presence, with your determination to serve His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, because this is hearts of a Vaishnava which generates inspiration to each other. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, teaches us the nine processes of pure devotional service. Shri Prahlad Vacha. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Vandanam Dasyam, Sakyam Atma Nivedanam, Itipam Sarpita Vishnu, Bhaktish Chennava Lakshana, Kriyata Bhagavatyadha, Tanmanye Dhitam Uttamam. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord one's best friend and surrendering everything unto Him, in other words, serving Him with the body, mind and words, these nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Sakyam. His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Sakyam. In regard to worshipping the Lord as a friend, the Agastya Samhita states that a devotee engaged in performing devotional service by Shravanam and Kirtanam sometimes wants to see the Lord personally. For this purpose, he resides in the temple. Elsewhere there is statement, O my Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead and Eternal Friend, although you are full of bliss and knowledge, you have become the friend of residents of Vrindavan. How fortunate are these devotees! In this statement, the word friend is specifically used to indicate intense love. Friendship, therefore, is better than servitude. In the stage above, dasya rasa, the devotee accepts the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a friend. And this is not at all astonishing, for when a devotee is pure in heart, the opulence of his worship of the deity diminishes as spontaneous love for the Personality of Godhead is manifested. So in this regard, Sridhara Swami mentions Shidam Vipra, who expressed to himself his feelings of obligation, thinking, life after life, may I be connected with Krishna in this friendly attitude. What is the essence of reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita? What could be the essence? Yes. To see Krishna between the lines, and the lines, and the letters, and the pages. Sure. So this is, we know that there is Shastra Chakshu, yes? There is a pure-hearted devotee is able to see the world with the eyes of scripture. But here we have a suggestion that a devotee can develop Krishna Chakshu, isn't it? Wherever he looks, not even in the pages of Bhagavatam, but everywhere, isn't it? That Srila Prabhupada speaks about that. Wherever it's possible to have darshan, constant darshan of Krishna, wherever you are. If you are in a proper consciousness, Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness, deep Krishna consciousness, then you develop Krishna Chakshu. You see everywhere Krishna, directly or indirectly. Of course, in the beginning of Bhagavatam, we see how a devotee is being taught how to learn to see the universal form of the Lord. Yeah? The mountains are the bones of the body of the Lord. The trees are the hair on his body. The moon and the sun are his eyes. Yeah? This is the introductory lessons for a devotee, how to be able to see the Lord everywhere. Not only in terms of his energies, but also as a personality. Yes. What could be the one other essence of reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita? In terms of Yuga Dharma. Yeah, please. Please. Yes, our identity, spiritual identity. Yes. Krishna's identity and then Chaitanya Charitamrita, the relationship about between two identities. Yeah? Yes, exactly. When I sit to read Bhagavatam and Gita, I always think about one thing. Maybe not always, but quite often think about one thing. That actually, I need to read, or I am reading Bhagavad Gita just to remind me always what I have to do. And what I have to do? Chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. And only because I don't have real staunch and firm faith in the power, in the need of chanting the holy name, sometimes I have to read Bhagavatam and Gita so that I would remind myself that we have actually constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Take shelter of the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord. So this is the way in this age how you have to two rules. Always remember Krishna and never forget. Yes? So, by chanting the holy name. Yes? This is very practical and this is very, very, what you say, spiritual. So these devotional services, these nine devotional services, Sri Prahlad Maharaj is sharing with us, which he inherited from Sri Narada Muni. Even being in the womb of a mother. So that means it's also a lesson for us. Earlier we start learning, deeper it gets into. Later we start, more doubts, more difficulties we experience. So Prahlad Maharaj, he got his education in the womb of his mother. So therefore he is a staunch devotee, and even in the biggest danger situations he is like undisturbed up to the he is not disturbed. So Srila Prabhupada says that Sakyam is better than Dasyam, and Dasyam, last time I didn't mention, who personifies the best example of Dasyam? Guess next. Dasyam. Hanumanji. Yes, Hanumanji. Yes, we can read again because it's very important. It's very important to meditate on the personalities which attained perfection, in particular devotional services. Like Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by Parikshit Maharaj. By hearing. Shukadeva Goswami attained salvation simply by chanting. Yes. Ubacha. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembrance. Paranam. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. Yes. She is the one. Prithu Maharaj attained salvation by deity worship, yeah? Archanam. Akrura attained salvation by prayers, yes? Although we heard in the lecture of Archita Prabhu that there are devotees who are expert in prayers and bhajans. Like that, but Akrura personifies the perfection. And Hanuman by rendering service. So who is the best friend of Lord Krishna? Arjuna. Yes. And who surrendered everything in the service of the Lord? Bali Maharaj. Yes. Yes. Bali Maharaj. Yes, so Arjuna was famous warrior. This time when he was present on the planet, he was famous warrior all over the three worlds. So when Arjuna decided to give up fighting for the good reason, he gave very good reasons. But the problem that his attitude or mood was wrong. And he was as if influenced by illusion. And he gave an excuse renouncing the fight, leaving for the forest, becoming a renunciate, and like that. So it's a very good example for each and every one of us. When we get appointment for some service in the temple from our high authority, be that Brahmacharya ashram leader, temple commander, temple president, whomever that may be. And we are looking for excuses. And because we are well-versed in philosophy, so we find the excuses, very highly philosophical excuses, why we wouldn't do that, why we don't want to, or why I am not able to, or like that. So, but we see that to follow the authority is the path to success. Because otherwise there are two authorities in our life, two main categories of authorities. One is my mind and ego, and the other one is spiritual master, represented by some senior devotee or temple administration. So it's obvious that to follow the ego or mind is a dangerous path. Because usually we stuck to the duties which are not my natures. Krishna wants Arjuna to perform the duty which is not your nature, even trying to do it good is dangerous. It's very dangerous because literally you will be punished. Of course, when we read Bhagavad Gita, when we read 700 shlokas through, all through, and especially this one very good day during the year when the Gita was spoken, that day especially we have to read all the Gita through. So, of course, when we read Bhagavad Gita, it's so we can understand how fortunate Arjuna was, Krishna taking directly personal care of him. He personally explained him his mistakes and personally he inspired him to fight. But I extract conclusion from that if I would be then in the situation of Arjuna, most probably I would not have followed Krishna's advice. That's why I am now in this situation where I have opportunity by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, kindness, to read Bhagavad Gita again and again and again for years and years and years. Arjuna didn't need that. He heard once and he surrendered. And for us, we read and hear. We read and hear Bhagavad Gita again and again and again. And still we have hard time to surrender fully. To some extent, one thing. Temporary, another thing. Yes? In the temple. So our surrender is depending from Kala Desha Patra. Our surrender depends on time, place, and circumstances. When we go home, yes, we come to the temple, especially Sunday program. Yesterday night there was a Harinam, wonderful. So many devotees, congregation, prasad. It's much easier to surrender. But then we go home afterwards and we struggle. More or less. So that's why for years and years and years we're repeating again and again and again. The mother of education is repeating. Yes? Repeating. We're reading again and again and again and again same shlokas. Yes? And more often we read, more often we are in the association of devotees, more we clean our heart, we develop stability, and ultimately taste. So Krishna consciousness is a wonderful culture, although it's a spiritual culture, which any aspect of it serves to help us. Any aspect, whatever that may be. So the worst thing what we can do, isolate ourselves. And usually, sometimes it happens that we perform some offense and then we isolate it from the association of devotees by force. And we can't do anything about that. That's why we have to be aware of the offenses against the holy name, the offenses against the Vaishnava devotees. And be ready always to surrender. So that's why it's very beneficial to meditate upon these personalities personifying the devotional services. Lord Vishnu, when he appeared before the Prachetas, he said, "I'm very pleased with your cooperation, with your unity. And anyone who will remember and chant your glories and remember your pastime will have no problem in his life cooperating and working in unity for the benefit of the society and for the pleasure of Supreme Personality of Godhead." So by meditating upon those personalities, by glorifying them, by fighting our enviousness, Anasuyavi, Krishna says to Arjuna that I am giving you this knowledge because you are not envious to me. So sometimes in your free time, you dig your heart and you will find lots of interesting things to be thrown away, like enviousness. Yes? Because if we don't like, don't want to glorify a devotee, if we don't want to remember a glorious devotee, that means enviousness. Enviousness is there. Only because of that. Because if we are not envious, oh, we would jump in ecstasy by seeing a devotee anytime, anywhere. Not just cross the street because same side the devotee goes the street. So, Sakyam. Arjuna Maharaj ki. Atmanivedanam. So, who personifies Atmanivedanam? Bali Maharaj. The word Atmanivedanam refers to the stage at which one who has no motive other than to serve the Lord surrenders everything to the Lord and performs his activities only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is like a cow that is cared for by its master. When cared for by its master, a cow is not in anxiety over its maintenance. Such a cow is always devoted to its master and it never acts independently but only for the master's benefit. Some devotees therefore consider dedication of the body to the Lord to be Atmanivedanam and as stated in the book known as Bhakti Viveka. Sometimes dedication of the soul to the Lord is called Atmanivedanam. So the best examples of Atmanivedanam are found in Bali Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj. Atmanivedanam is also sometimes found in the behavior of Rukmini Devi in New Dwarak Dham. Ki? Jai. Yes. Remembering character of Bali Maharaj, who was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, is a good example to follow because it's a lesson to every one of us that even, just look, it's a very dangerous situation in which Bali Maharaj got. Spiritual master tells him one thing, and just Brahmana boy tells him another thing. Spiritual master tells Shukracharya, tells Bali Maharaj, don't give him, this boy, anything. Don't give him anything. He will steal from you everything. You will end up in a prison. you will not be able to maintain yourself and those who are dependent on you. If we will get ever such a warning, would we do opposite? Hardly. If someone will tell you, don't cross the street, the car will hit you. Of course, sometimes we do stupid things despite the warnings. But these are stupid things. But Bali Maharaj, he just surrendered everything. So it's an interesting thing that a person who had all the three worlds, the person, emperor of the three worlds of this universe, Bali Maharaj, having everything, he gave up everything. Because he knew the taste which is called, I have everything. It doesn't give you full happiness. It doesn't change anything. Say you have a store of food. I don't know, tens and hundreds of tons of grain, of vegetables, of whatever. Can you enjoy it? Can you eat everything right away? Say you have tons of gold. Can you wear on yourself tons of gold? Earrings or whatever, bangles, can you put on yourself? Even if you have tons of gold, what changes? It's just the ego which is fed by concept of that it's mine. But can you enjoy and... No. Maybe you have few houses all over the world, wherever that may be. Even if you have a house in Vrindavan, can you stay in them all the time? It's rather a burden because you have to maintain them. So it's even on our level, considering those things, we can understand that they actually don't give you a pleasure. The devotee who has two sets of dhoti, bead bag, gamcha, is more peaceful and happy. Is much more peaceful and happy than the one who has, I don't know, millions, billions, and lots of things, and lots of houses, and lots of properties, and like that. It's a headache. And Srila Prabhupada says, even the one who has lots of money, he is worried, and he is always anxious how to keep them safely. So, Bali Maharaj, having everything, all the banks, all of us, the three worlds were his, all the riches, all the glory was his. But he considered that very honestly. There is no taste in that. Of course, he knew another side of a story, that there are no riches, no material resources can satisfy the demands of the mind and senses. Doesn't matter how many planets you rule, doesn't matter how many universes you may rule, maybe, I don't know. It's just vanity. It's just to satisfy your vanity, your ego. But how much spiritually a person should be mature that so easily be able to give it up everything. Bali Maharaj, Maharaj Parikshit personifies this renunciation. Yes? Bharat Maharaj personifies renunciation. Arjuna told to Krishna that, let me be better killed in the battlefield rather than I will kill my relatives and my friends and my teachers. So we see, these are the real ornaments in the character, on the body of a devotee. Renunciation, surrender, devotion. These are the real ornaments. And if a devotee has these characteristics, the Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune herself, will be happy to provide by the order of Lord Vishnu everything what a devotee needs. Like in this beautiful, gorgeous temple, what is lacking? Does everyone is walking around starving? Don't we have to dress, place to sleep, service to do? Everything is provided. Everything is provided and even more than we need. And still we may feel unhappy. So what is it? I don't know what is it, I know what is it not. It's not Atmanivedanam. So, I have one humble request. Archita Prabhu, please consider me your friend. Please, Acharya Prabhu, consider me your friend. Dear Prabhus, Prabhis, consider me your friend. I will be happy, happy, happy to serve in any capacity. My capacities are very limited, but in any capacity I would be happy to make you happy. Serve. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Do we have some questions, objections? Yes, Acharyaji. Preaching pastimes in Russia. I can tell you the pastimes from Russia, but you will not believe. Than believable. It's easier to believe that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead than the pastimes which are taking place in Russia. They are much more unbelievable. Maybe 20 years ago, my spiritual master was traveling throughout the Russia, and sometimes I was assisting him as a translator. And sometimes we were flying, sometimes we were taking trains. And those years, the ticket price was next to nothing. It's like cheap like anything, especially for the foreigner. And that had another side of a stick. You can't get the tickets. It's like almost you come to the station to buy the tickets and it's sold out, no tickets. So sometimes more devotees wanted to travel with Maharaj to other yatras, to other cities. But then there were no tickets, like Guru Maharaj, myself, we bought tickets in advance, and some devotees want to join. And at some point we were traveling somewhere in Siberia. And we got onto the train and we went some distance, and after 1 hour or so the train was stopped in the next town, and we saw lots of police, militia, was walking around, and there was some turmoil. So we got out of the train, and the train attendant told us that they found some suicider under the train. But then we found that that was a devotee following his spiritual master, traveling like, I don't know, under the wagon. He slept there, and he was with Dota and with Kurta, and that was like hanging. So they thought that there was intestines hanging. So they stopped the train and they got him alive and okay. He was okay. He just found his place somewhere, you know, so that he could travel without ticket following his spiritual master. So if you tell that Ananda Chaitanya was telling fairy tales, it's okay. But these are facts and these are realities. And they were traveling like that. They wanted to follow spiritual master. There was no tickets. So he got somewhere between the wheels, somewhere there in some space, and was going there, wherever it may took. So the police came, they took him away from there. Yeah. Don't ask me telling the stories from Russia past times. You will not believe, or otherwise you will not be able to sleep at night.
I just have a quick question.
Yes.
What were you doing when you were inspired to become a part of Krishna? And what inspired you? And what motivated you at the time to teaching?
So you ask now, or long time ago? Yeah, when I started. I remember myself in school being quite a lonely person. I was like introvert. I was happy with myself and I didn't need any friends. I was not speaking to anyone. I was like happy with myself, not needing a company or some external entertainment. But when I met devotees, I changed completely. That's why before I was practicing yoga. So I thought, let me go to the forest, let me go to the mountains and stay alone, and that would make me happy like anything. I don't want to see anyone, I don't want to hear anyone, I'm happy with myself. Just doing yoga, meditating, and anything. But when I met the devotees and I started associating with them and reading Prabhupada's books, I found how much more fun and fulfilling the desires for association is in the association of devotees. Because even I dropped my university studies. I was interested in physics, and I liked the science, but I couldn't handle the way it was taught and by the persons who were teaching it. They were not honest characters. They were kind of, anyway, professors and those teachers. I couldn't follow. I wanted to learn, but to learn from, you know, honest, qualified personality. So I dropped because I couldn't follow those. So when I met the devotees and when I saw their character, I remember those years when already we opened the temple, first temple in the USSR in 1989 in Kaunas, Lithuania, in former USSR. So we had to start giving classes and we didn't know how to do that. We never did. So the programs were being started in the temple. But, you know, everyone was shy and like that. And still we had to. And then when I was sent by spiritual master to preach in Russia, it's like, Krishna puts you into such situation, circumstances when you have no other choice than to preach or get crazy. You know? Because materially situation may be intolerable. You know, like I went to some Russian city, Samara, it's 2 million people living there. I don't know no one there. And in 6 months I had to change I have to change 6 residences. Someone was letting me to stay in his apartment for a while. Then he asked to move. Then someone else offers you to stay. And it's like, you know, I was grown. I was cared by my loving parents like a loving child. My childhood was like a fairy tale. I was happy in all means. But going somewhere to foreign country, foreign situation, foreign language, with no residence, you could become easily crazy and degrade yourself in no time. So there is one choice. You surrender, you preach, you read, or you end up badly. So from one point, maybe, I don't know, but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that some people just continue what they were doing last life. So I hope that last lifetime I was connected to whatever that may be, yoga, I don't know. I hope. I'm not sure. I hope so. I'm just was happy continuing this lifetime. And I really get inspiration from Srila Prabhupada's books. I really enjoy it. Because I already told that 1988, when Australian BBT publishers donated to USSR devotees 500 sets of books, and I got one because I was serving in BBT publishing department. Every morning after chanting my rounds, I was opening Bhagavatam, although I didn't knew English then so well. I didn't understood everything. But I was reading every word, every sentence with great relish. It's like eating something sweet, something very pleasant. Really, really. I was feeling like that. I think so, yeah. I think so. I hope so. So that keeps me continuing. There was a question? Okay. The lady was, now boy, then lady. You know, we can put it the other way. Inattentive chanting, would that be considered an offense? Well, sure, to some degree. But let's put it the other way. We have to develop hunger for the holy name. We have to be hungry. And how to be hungry for the holy name? Have you ever followed Ekadashi? Ekadashi? Fasting one day. No? So the next Ekadashi is very soon, Thursday. So you just take a note and make an experiment. Fast for all day. And next day, you check your mind, what it thinks about, other than what to eat and where to eat. And as soon as possible, ASAP. Yes? So, same thing you have to develop to the holy name. you just can't help yourself but think about the chanting. Okay, it's easy to say, how to do. So it's also at least using intelligence, because you have to see around and see that people actually are suffering. They may look like enjoying, but this is what is called illusion. So you have to develop faith and proper understanding to see the world not through the eyes of sensual perception, but through the eyes of scriptures. So that's why you have to read, to strengthen your faith, to get determination from there. Associate with devotees, sadhu sangha. And then you get a proper viewpoint of the world. And then you understand, at least you understand, if you are not hungry for the holy name in the beginning, at least you understand that without the holy name, there is no reality in this world. And this is philosophy. This is proved that the only absolute truth in this world is the holy name of the Lord. The rest is just illusion. But you have, again, confirm that in your heart. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you do, anything what happens in your life should confirm this. Just the holy name, there is no other reality, there is no other truth in this world rather than holy name of the Lord. Maybe it sounds fanatical, but please forgive me. That's me. Yes. It's again association. I was always, from one point of view, very lucky. I had the association of the best persons, I can boldly say, in this world. Gurus, sannyasis, saintly people. Every year I go to India. I don't have money for that. I don't know how, but every year I go to India. I don't know. My spiritual master told, if you can, every year go to India to visit holy places for pilgrimage purposes, sure. So I don't have money for that. But every year somehow, sometimes the last moment, I go to India. And sometimes I already make my mind, this year most probably I will not be able to go to India and most probably I will not go. At the last moment someone says, let's go to India. So, you know, when you have a proper attitude, things start happening in your life properly. And I again and again preach to myself that work with your heart. Don't try to make a world a better place. Make your heart a better place, not the world. It's not in our power. Nobody gave us such a responsibility and such a power to change the world. It's an excuse. It's an excuse because you don't want or can't change, don't want to work with your heart, on your heart, so that you would change your motivations, your attitude. So then you think, oh, I do something good for this world. Let's make the world a better place. What about your heart? Then I would ask such a person. Is your heart already diamond pure? No. So work with your heart. Work with your heart. And then with the world. But then you don't need to do anything. Everyone would, you know, come and ask from you the wisdom and like that. So work with your heart. Think about who you are. First thing is your identity. Work your spiritual identity out. Understand and live by understanding. I am a spirit soul. So what's the purpose of the existence of the spirit soul? Other than serving the Supreme Soul. So work out your relationship with the Supreme Soul. And then He manages your life. And then your life is perfect because you don't need to care about all nonsense that's happening in this world. Somebody has a broader view, like Supreme Lord, He's got a perfect broad view. We have the view of a, what, pipe, like through seeing to the world through the pipe. Very narrow view. Please forgive me. To give up? To give up? What she said? It's always a problem when we try to do things ourselves depending on our prowess. It's always a problem. That's why we need association of devotees. That's why in the class I started saying that where do I get my inspiration? I get inspiration looking at your eyes. Because I see the curiousness. Yes? Curiousness, attention. Yes? I can see that with your heart, in your hearts, you are Vaishnava devotees. This is where I get inspiration. So that's why I was starting my class with, if I would sit alone in this room, my class would have been finished 1 hour ago, just right after the starting. I would start and I would feel, well, empty. But when we are in the association, so much inspiration comes. So, when we depend on our prowess, then we are doomed. But when we are unified, in unity serving the Lord, then He grants His darshan, like in the case of Prachetas, like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, He created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness to unify us. And then we come to Srila Prabhupada and say, I don't like these guys. Can you give me a secret mantra by which I would progress rapidly back home, back to Godhead? I need a more speedy way than for rags and, services, wash the pots. Srila Prabhupada is a very slow process. Give me a faster one. From the very first day in God consciousness, you have to enjoy every bit of it, whatever that may be. Washing pots, washing floor, or going on street to distribute books, or distribute prasad, even if afterwards there is no prasad left for you. Every bit of it you have to start enjoying right away. Not that, okay, now I will work hard, miserably, and sometime, maybe in the future, some nectar will come, drop on me. No. From the very beginning, you have to be excited and happy because it's a great fortune. It's unimaginable fortune that we are in ISKCON, that we are at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. This is a great fortune. So, Jesse, it's always, one thing is what you do, another thing is what's your attitude and mood, in which mood you do. If you wash the floor in the mood of hell, in the mood of, you know, temple president doesn't know how exalted devotee I am, that's why he gives me to wash the pots. But if he would know how exalted I am, he would put me on the altar. So no, our ego is terrible. Our ego is overestimating me thousands and thousands of times. And only when you become more pure in your heart, you understand that you are just nothing. You're just nobody. Yes. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.